Yo,
what up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 AM.
That right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly. I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the L.A. Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, canine. I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and we're here once again, another great week. Thanks for tuning in to the hottest sports show on radio. This is where sports and entertainment meets. Sports Roundtable at you each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to get something off your chest, call the show. Make sure you reach us at 404-603-8770. That is the number to call. You can also find us on Facebook Live as well. Go to your dial in your car. Go to AM 1100. Or if you want to listen to it on the internet, srtradio.com. Click on Listen Live, and you will hear us loud and clear in your speakers. And we're here, man. Great show last week. Had some feedback, some great deep conversation. We had some social things to talk about with the Colin Kaepernick situation, and we kind of broke it down a little bit for you and gave you the real of what's happening. So don't get caught up in the distractions and things of that nature. We will touch on a little bit more of that today, just a little bit, because we did have some other players that decided to sit down. And one of the players, he doesn't even talk. So we will get into that a little more. We got a great show for you. If this is your first time listening to the show, shame on you. But we do appreciate it. And with that being said, let me introduce you to the crew, the SRT crew, Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. And I am your humble host, H.O. from
Westside Bankhead. They want fun.
Westside Bankhead, of course, representing. And my main man next to me, we want to make sure that we send some prayers or well wishes to Miss Sports Superhero, and she is at home recovering, but I'm pretty sure she's listening to the show. So the SRT crew wishes you a get well soon. As I introduce my main man from Memphis, I'm pretty sure he's going to have a lot to say about Mr. Zeke Elliott, the Sports Superhero, Hancock.
What's up, big homie?
What's happening, man?
What's up, crew?
What up?
What's up, Weezy, wherever you are? What up, Jay Smooth?
What up, man?
I see you, boy. I've been hanging in my man. What's up, G Money?
Yo.
My man, G Money, made your boy look good this week.
Yeah, man.
Y'all don't know. Y'all check out the website,
srtradio.com. And what can they find there, sir?
I didn't find what my man G Money says is an essay. From the sports superhero. My man doctors up some things and made this boy look good.
There you go.
The graphics, yeah. I sure appreciate you, man. You look good.
Yeah, man.
So y'all check it out.
The article is
know what you like.
The article is called I'm Leaving You or something like that.
That's it.
I'm Leaving You. Where a divorce goes wrong.
It is. Yep. It is. Well, the marriage went wrong.
Yeah, the marriage went wrong.
The divorce is kind of hung up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still hung up. They still working trying to get the particulars right.
Yeah.
But y'all check it out. Let me know what you think. It's on your boy LeBron and his mate.
Kyrie Irving.
There you go.
So definitely check that out, srtradio.com. And D-Will is actually attending some sponsorship situation as he is buying a car from Jesus Cars. So D Will is trying to close that deal out and get here. But we always ready as the sixth man is in the building. You already know he goes by the name of J Smooth.
J Smooth.
Yo. Always glad to be back, man. Always glad to be back. Anytime you call me, you know I'm always there when I can. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You doing all right?
Yes, sir. I'm great, man.
Now, before we get into the show, you know, I don't know if many people do know, but you are a music fanatic.
Yeah.
And you do a podcast, and you just had a special interview the other day that I thought, haven't listened to it all the way through, but from the reviews and from the reports, how do you think it went? And tell the folks who you had in studio with you.
I think it went really well. I actually interviewed DJ Nephew. He's Atlanta's number one up-and-coming DJ. He's a guy who wants to bring or spread awareness to classic hip-hop and R&B. And we talked about everything from the art of DJing to the Forbes list of the highest-paid DJs over the last year. We talked about, like I said, his love of R&B and, you know, the state of DJing itself. So it was a great interview, like I said, with DJ Nephew. You can find him at DJNephew.com. So go check him out. And also, you can find the podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, Switch Style Podcast.
There you go.
That's smooth. Well, he's just a black man's case of Jesus.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And thank you for that, Jay. And we will check it out. And the listeners now know where they can check it out.
Yeah.
And for all y'all who do not know, our lovely music producer and audio producer, the man behind the glass, he goes by the name of G Money.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, I am.
G is in the building behind the glass, working it up, cooking something up. So we can't wait to see what kind of music we're going to hear from him tonight. We do have a great show for you. We got the hot news coming up real, real soon. And then we got a special guest. 86 through 89, Colorado was kind of up and coming. Colorado Buffaloes, college football. And one of the legendary running backs will be calling in around 7:30, so you don't want to miss that. J.J. Flanagan will be calling in around 7:30 to talk about his days at Colorado and kind of had some things going on the 30 for 30 that he say he wants to, you know, kind of clear up as well. And he also has a project that he's promoting, so he will also tell us about that. So I will wait until he tells us about the project when he comes on. So 7:30, stay tuned for that. We do have a fun bag. Since D-Will is not here yet, we will do the fun bag around 7:45. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And G's Extra Credit will lead off the second half of the show. And then we'll get down and busy with the rest of the show as we talk about actually what LeBron said. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Is he standing up? Is he the only one standing up? Just we go talk about something LeBron did the other day. We got some top five rookie fantasy football, so we will kind of sneak that in there and definitely kind of give y'all some sneak peeks as we got two of our fantasy gurus in the house, and we're going to try to steal their strategy. And with that being said, G, let's go ahead and hop into this hot news.
Blazing, hot, 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 scorching,
on fire,
red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go over to our friend at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best rib in town, and it's verified, I tell you that. You can go to BigEasyGrill.com to check out the menu. First question in the hot news, Hancock, I know this is, well, and G-Money, know this is kind of close to your hearts.
Right.
But Ezekiel Elliott has been suspended 6 games by the NFL for some craziness. Let me just say it that way.
Right.
That really hadn't been proven.
Yeah.
And there we can go back to some other things that folks admitted that they did and got only 1 game suspension.
Right.
Tom Brady appealed this 2 years ago and played the whole year and then get suspended to the next year.
Right.
So it's a lot of different things that we can kind of harp on and go on. So Hancock, your thoughts on the 6 game suspension, you know, and let's hear from your perspective.
It's kind of tough to talk about when we talk about domestic violence because you don't want to seem like you're not sympathetic to the issue. And that's what I don't want to come across as being, you know, that guy that says, oh, you know, to look like, oh, she deserved it or whatever. And I'm not like that at all because I don't even know the circumstances. What I do know is that this case was looked into by 2 law agencies, police agencies, whatever you want to call them. And neither of them found enough evidence to pursue it. Both issues were kicked out, which does not mean that nothing happened. And I will be the first to say, if he put his hands on her in any way, not only should he be suspended for 6 games, possibly a year. I'll be honest with you. And I'm a Cowboy fan. But if you're putting your hands on a woman, whatever happens to you, happens to you. But I have a problem with all the reports and everything that are coming out. Things are being leaked about statements that were not just said, but they were notarized statements saying that nothing really happened between Zeke. One I read today said that Zeke never laid a hand on the young lady in this incident. Then there are text messages that are coming out saying that she purposely wanted to frame him because she was unsatisfied with the way he was basically moving on with his life and she was being left out. So there's so much smoke and fire around this situation, nobody really knows. But I think the NFL is trying to err on the side of positivity. They don't want to be in any negative light because they look bad in the past with the Ray Rice situation, with the, help me out, G, what's my man's name? Cowboys picked up the defensive lineman.
Greg Hardy.
Yeah. Greg Hardy situation. Those situations, even the one last year we just kind of touched on a little bit with the Giants,
Josh Brown,
Josh Brown. So I think they're kind of laying the wood to Zeke, to be honest with you. And rather than saying, okay, we see a lot of bad stuff out, and then they don't want to come back and something hits them in the head saying, well, this happened also. Why didn't you handle it? So, it's kind of a touchy situation. If I'm Zeke, if I'm really trying to prove my innocence, I'm going to fight it to the end because I don't want to be labeled a, you know, abuser.
Yep. I completely agree. And I think we're at the point, well, me personally, I have to reserve judgment until all the facts come out. Because as Superhero just said, facts are continuing to come out every day. So we don't know what happened. We don't know what did happen. But what I do know is I think it's another blackout for the NFL. Even though the incident might have happened, what, over a year ago?
Right.
And I think they're considering the recent incident that he had this summer.
Right.
They're also considering that in the ruling. But I think it's another blackout for the NFL. I think they rushed to judgment, even though it was a year ago. I think they could have held off a little bit longer. And it screams that they're setting precedent. Like, because from now on out, I expect any similar incidents, I expect them all to get 6 games. And it's unfortunate because the NFL, they really have to create some type of uniformity. I think each situation has to be judged in a similar way. And like I said, I think it's another blackout for the NFL. And Roger Goodell, that's another thing. He's sort of removed himself from the process, which I don't blame him considering his past. I don't blame him. But if you're Roger Goodell and you're going to make a ruling, I think you have to be involved in the process. And I know people can come to you and they can present this information, that information, but I think a part of you also has to be a part of the process, if you ask me.
And I like that you touched on that because That is a key issue. See, they have what is called Article 46, which allows him to be judge, jury, prosecutor, executioner, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Whatever he says goes. And what happened was the players agreed to this. See, that's the issue right there. Article 46 of the Players Association, the union,
right,
says that Goodell has say-so, has unlimited power to do whatever he wants.
Yep.
So, really, the cat's out of the bag. It's no way back. And how can you lessen the punishment? If you say he was an abuser and it's a 6-game punishment. Okay, if you bring it down to 3, what do you say? Well, he hit her 3 times instead of 6 times. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Or do you say, well, he just kind of tripped her up or whatever? You can't. It's either he did or he didn't.
Right.
So if you say he did it, it's a bottom line 6 games. That's what it's supposed to be. So he did. There's no way out. And that, you know, the players, this is what we talked about, right, a little bit. The players are going to be coming up on the collective bargaining agreement.
Absolutely.
And they have to decide on whether they're going to stand strong and say, we're not playing. And they're kind of over a barrel because they don't have guaranteed contracts throughout the league. So what's going to happen is if they don't walk, we've seen it before. What happened when they struck before? People crossed the picket line.
Yeah.
And
even
see,
the referee.
There's going to be any unity. The same thing with the Kaepernick situation. There's not that unity that they need to affect the change of this collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Yeah, the NFL has backed themselves into a corner, and they do it every time. Like, I think there has to be standard suspensions or rules across the board for every player. I mean, you domestic violence, whatever it is, 6 games. Drunk driving, PEDs, whatever it might be, 4-5 games, whatever the case may be, there has to be standards across the board. That way they don't continue to back themselves into the corners. And like Hancock said, the players, they need to hold themselves accountable anyway. He can't continue to put himself in these situations, and they have to change something with the CBA.
Exactly. G, your thoughts on any of this Zeke Elliott situations and how they are handling it with no proven facts but able to give out 6 games?
Well, it's like you're saying, if the police weren't able to move forward, if they didn't feel they didn't have enough evidence, what evidence did the NFL have? And why aren't they working in law enforcement? And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of fans, your middle America fans or anything like that, they wanted the NFL to be the police. And this is what happens when the NFL gets to be the police. They don't have to, they can make up their own rules. They're making this up as they go along. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's not an innocent until proven guilty kind of thing. It's not, it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt kind of thing. They can go by whatever they want, if it looks bad or not. I mean, if you look at with Ben Roethlisberger, he got suspended and he wasn't charged with anything.
Right.
Pac-Man Jones has never been charged with anything, but he's been suspended multiple times.
Right.
So, like, this is just another incident of that, and it's something that the players need to maybe argue to change, or to where there's a different kind of process when this kind of issue comes up. But I agree, it's a black eye for the NFL, because it doesn't seem like there's enough, but they're able to hand down this suspension, and it's all for PR. It's all about PR. It's not really about anything else. Okay. It's not even about the alleged victim either. It's not about her either.
Yeah. And all right. Hey, one more thing. Now I'll leave it at this. The way the NFL, the way they carry out their football rules, say for instance, like the catch rule, it can be interpreted a bunch of different ways. They operate the same way in business. And I think there has to be one standard. You can't leave it open to various interpretations of what you think it might be. It's too ambiguous. There's too many different meanings. You could get whatever you want out of it. And I think they have to change it.
Exactly. I agree. And they seem to find a way to, if you get caught with PED one time, you get, what, four or six games?
Four games.
The second time, ten games. Third time, a year. Standard.
Yeah, just stick to that.
I mean, it's already set up. So let's move to the second question. Tiger Woods, it's been reported that they have found 5 different drugs in his system when he got arrested in May. I don't have the list of drugs.
I got the list.
Okay.
I had to pull that up. I got the list.
Okay. Tiger, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's already been shown Tiger likes quantity. So, whatever that's about, he's going to go for the big part of us. Hey, look, man. There's nothing you can say about it. I mean, he had him in the system. They didn't pump him with him. So, it is
Give me that name.
I don't know.
He had Vicodin, Dilaudid, Xanax, Ambien, and THC.
Let's get it.
So all y'all pharmacists that's listening to the show, no wonder he went to sleep.
That's 2 painkillers, one that helps you sleep, a mood and sleep drug. That was the Xanax. And then the THC, how did he ingest it? I don't know, but it was in his system.
Yep. Maybe somebody tried to date rape type.
at this point, it's possible.
Maybe they tried to date rape him. I mean, I don't know, man. Hey, who knows?
When D Weir get here, we're going to ask him how did he adjust this THC into his system? Because I don't know what's going on with Mr. Tiger Woods. So, you know, he needs some help.
Well, they say he's getting it, so which is good. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, man. We look at this situation. When you're on top of the world and you're the best at something and then it's kind of just pulled out from under you and taken away from you, some people can't adjust. Because Tiger, when you look at Tiger, you think about Tiger. We didn't know about the other outside interest he was doing with the women, but we did know he had tunnel vision about golf.
Yeah.
And that was his thing about being the best. That meticulous, changing the swing 3 times in a career, all these type of things, training with the what's some people, G? The Marine people.
Oh.
Just to have folks, the SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
Yeah,
Navy
that's
SEALs.
That's where he hurt himself doing that type of thing. And then we'd never seen a golfer work out and get his body in that type of shape. So it's all kind of things we've seen with Tiger. I just don't know if he's ever really adjusted after falling from grace.
All right, we're going to move on to the third question. I guess I'll be the only one talking about this. I gained a lot of Duke haters the other night, which is fine with me. I love the fact that I can actually have some Duke haters. And for y'all don't know about SRTRadio.com, G Money is the one who actually puts the information on the site. And I'm sure the next morning he saw that I had already.
Yeah, that's they're like, he chose Duke. Okay, let me post that, and then it's already there.
Wow.
I had to change the picture though, but I saw it on that.
Hey, so this is the thing. Duke lands Bagley. So the question is, the rich get richer. Is Duke now the Golden State Warriors of college basketball? Jay Smooth, we'll start with you.
Hate to disappoint you, Adrian Green, but no. For Duke to become the Golden State Warriors, of course you're going to have to win consecutive champions. Well, not that Golden State has won consecutive championships, but you're going to have to put a few together in within the span of the same amount of years.
Okay.
So I couldn't call them the Golden State Warriors because the turnover is too high.
Right.
But I do like Marvin Bagley. I like what you guys have done. This guy even reclassified himself, so he'll be eligible this year, right?
Exactly.
And he was on your radar. He was on Coach K's radar because you all offered him a scholarship in 9th grade, correct?
Actually, we offered him in the 10th grade.
Okay.
But we started the process of the reclassification, and shout out to Jeff Capel for doing that process. So, and if you're going to reclassify, what better school to do it, because they've reclassified a number of guys. So, Hancock, know you're not a basketball enthusiast, or at least college basketball.
No, I'm still an enthusiast. I just don't think that a lot of these players, you know, we've seen them. They don't really materialize to the levels that they say. And that's the only thing. I think they're pushed and put on the pedestal before they're ready. Now, as far as Bagley, I've not seen him play.
Right.
I've seen a couple of highlights. Mm-hmm. From all accounts, he's a real deal. which is a good thing. You had the real deal in Tatum. I think Coach K and whatever they had around that kind of held him back, which didn't allow him to grow and be the player that I thought he could have been from seeing what he's doing now.
Right.
But Bagley, from all accounts, is the real deal. Duke is putting together a monster squad. We'll see it. And they'll have to put another one together next year because all of them will be in, these guys will be gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the nature of the business. I myself really hate this one and done crap because I think it's crap.
Right.
I think if you're ready to play at the next level, you ought to be allowed to play. You don't care about tennis players at 16. You don't care about golfers at 16.
Swimmers.
They don't care about the European players playing
hockey
pro ball
players
overseas. You know, so, you know, to me, it's crazy. Baseball players, they can go play pro ball. But the NBA, because they are maybe African-American or something, I don't know. It's an issue. And don't tell me, well, they mess up their money. It's their money.
Yeah.
You don't care about them if they're working in a warehouse for $11 an hour.
Yeah.
So
you ain't gonna tip in.
But let's not go into that. But anyway, Bagley, from what I hear, is the real deal. Can't wait to see him play. So we'll see. You know,
G, go ahead.
I'll have the high expectations for him, based on what friend of the show, DeShaun Tate, said, to where he should be the number one pick. He's
right.
Gonna be a 10-time All-Star at least, and he has Hall of Fame potential.
Yeah,
right.
So I'm expecting him to win the Wooden Award and the Naismith Award and to lead Duke to a national championship. Otherwise, it's a failure.
He gonna kill council too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my main man, D-Will, the coach, is in the building.
What's up?
And I, and I know you wanna talk about Bagley. I know me and you are pretty much AAU high school gurus. Your thoughts on Bagley choosing Duke? DeShaun Tate had already raved about him before he even got off the plane. He was talking about Bagley.
Mm-hmm.
So your thoughts on Duke getting Bagley?
Well, him going to Duke is not a shock. Duke gets what they want. So that him going to Duke is not a big deal. The big deal to me is this reclassification thing. All right. The process of it is what throws me off. is what I don't understand. Like, how can you just be in the 11th grade and then during the process of the summer, I'm in the 12th grade.
No, I'm going to graduate.
And I'm graduating, and I'm going to college in the fall.
Well, you know, it started in football, D.
Oh, it did.
Because these quarterbacks that we've seen come in and leave high school and go start practicing.
Exactly, early.
Early, enrolling in college. And getting on campus to practice.
By the second semester.
Right. Basketball is just
following suit. But Marvin Bagley himself, I can just reiterate and agree with everything DeShaun Tate said. He's a 6'11", left-handed, do-it-all. But he is a traditional big man. He likes playing with his back to the basket. He can rebound. He scores. He finished. What people don't understand for a big man, finishing around the rim is the most important thing. And he is an automatic finisher. If he gets it anywhere within 3 to 5 feet, that's going in. He's scoring the basketball. So with that being said, man, 6'11 can do it all. And once as his body develops, because he's still a young man, as his body develops, his game's going to develop, he's going to be able to stretch it out to the three-point line. So you're talking about I'm going to tell you who he reminds me of. A mix between Lamar Odom and Rasheed Wallace.
That's interesting.
It's not bad. That's pretty good mix.
He can smash the glass. He can run the floor. But he finishes around the rim. And he's going to be able to, as he develops, to stretch that jump shot out to the three-point line.
So he's going to have some Embiid tendencies.
But he's Joel Embiid.
Don't say away. Embiid is a beast,
Joel Embiid cannot smell Marvin Bagley.
I want to see it, man. Because Joel Embiid healthy is a beast.
He's good.
He is a beast.
I'm telling you, this kid... Joel Embiid is no Marvin Bagley.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
All right. Last question for the hot 88. Hot 88. The hot news. Marshawn Lynch, Michael Bennett didn't stand for the anthem this past week. Your thoughts on it, and what are we expecting? Hancock, we can start with you.
With everything that has gone on this past week, the things that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, it kind of sheds light on what Kaepernick has been talking about, you know. And honestly, to me, you know, my life as I know it kind of started right at the turn of that civil rights movement. You know, like I told you all before, I remember the day Martin Luther King was killed.
Right.
So I kind of spanned from there, and my knowledge of what went on from there, because that's really the major point I can start from. And I've seen this thing, you know, they say history repeats itself. And in a sense, what I'm seeing is a lot of things that happened in the 60s, a lot of rioting and racial conflict and whatever, that kind of faded behind the curtain a little bit, which gave us, I think, a false sense of, okay, we're getting an even playing field. But with this Make America Great Again, a lot of stuff that was behind the curtain now is coming after. And I can understand the issues that players like Bennett and Kaepernick and Lynch and all of them. Well, Lynch so much as just said he just sits down. But the other guys who might be a little more socially conscious, I understand what they're going and what they're saying. If they have a platform to speak up and show something, they have to do it. I have no problem with what they're doing and sitting down and bringing light to an issue that I think needs to be talked about and discussed, especially with what's going on in the highest law office in the land.
Now, Jay Smooth and D. Will, we go get back to this in our roundtable discussion, because I definitely want to hear about how you guys feel about, especially Michael Bennett, because he's very outspoken. And if you heard his brother, what did he say? What did he say last night? You know, that's, he really spoke on how he feel about how his brother is really supporting this whole thing. So we're going to go ahead and take a commercial. We'll come back. We got J.J. Flanagan on the line. We got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, y'all stay tuned. J.J. is on the line. We talking Colorado Buffaloes. When we get back, you listen to Sports Roundtable. SRT Crew.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network. Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker. And mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Stuck in a high dollar, low gig family plan? Right now, switch to Boost Mobile's best family plan and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to four free phones. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Sports Roundtable.
I just thought it was funny how the next day, Greg Popovich goes on this rant about Zaza. And
thank you, G.
We didn't forget he coached Bruce Bowen.
Wow.
Oh, come on. Talk to me. Fake news.
Fake news.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
Sports Roundtable, each and every Wednesday. We're back in the building. And I got a good friend, close friend, lawyer listening to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, as y'all heard on the way to commercial, one of the greatest touchdown runs that you'll ever see, one of the top five touchdowns in college football history. J.J. Flanagan scores on a pitch from Darren Hagan, about 30, 40 yards down the field, and he scores against Nebraska. And on the phone, we got legendary running back, Colorado Buffalo, and he is the man, J.J. Flanagan. J.J., what's up, man?
J.J.?
We got it.
Hey, hey, how y'all doing
out there?
You
know.
What's our SRT crew family doing out there?
Hey, man, we good, man. You heard that intro, didn't you?
Hey, I love that intro, man. Much love to y'all, man. Much love.
JJ, for all those who don't know, we know you. Well, I know you graduated in 89. We do have some youngsters in the studio. They don't know that you put up 17 touchdowns in your senior year and things of that nature. Just let everybody know, how was it playing in that offense with Darren Hagan, Sal, and you running that thing in Colorado when Nebraska thought they was the CZ?
Man, I tell you, that was a wonderful experience, man. It was a wonderful experience to play with such great players, not just on the offensive side, you know, including Eric Bieniemy and Michael Westbrook and, you know, and Mike Pritchard and all these guys. But on defense, man, we had a great defense at that time, man, with Alfred Williams, first rounder, Knavis McGee, second rounder, you know, Deion Figures, first rounder, Chad Brown, second rounder. I mean, the list goes on and on for us during those days, man. So it was a good experience, man. And those guys are family for life. Those guys are family for life. And I'm glad that we're still really close to this day.
Now, they did a 30 for 30 for you guys for Colorado, and we saw some things that we didn't know or some people didn't know. Can you kind of shed a little light on that 30 for 30 for us, even in a personal sense for yourself?
Well, you know, it was a situation back then, you know, though we were at that time building a program. You know, before that year that you just showed, you know, you just played that play on, it was some ups and downs. You know, we, you know, a lot of guys who were recruited to that team that was so good mainly came from, you know, the fifth wars and the third wars of Houston, and then, you know, like myself from L.A. and, you know, like Darren Hagan and some of the rough neighborhoods of Watts and Compton. And, you know, one thing they didn't ever teach us how to do was how to survive in Boulder, Colorado, where it was less than 1% black, you know, even on campus, you know. And so it was some good times, but it was definitely some harder times there that we had to deal with and kind of wake up the community that, you know, we're there to play football and go to school and move on with our lives. And, you know, we got hit head on at times with race and things like that. And you know, I think that what we're dealing with today, you know, it's starting to sound a lot familiar to me.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm pretty sure that Kaepernick situation and with the Michael Bennett and things of that nature is kind of paying some dividends and actually having a flashback. But let's move on to a more brighter thing. Well, maybe not so bright in a sense of they tried to change your position in the NFL. When you got drafted by the Chargers. So kind of tell us about it. You was a legendary running back at Colorado, but then you get to the Chargers, you know, drafted in the eighth round, and they trying to switch you position to wide receiver. How did that even go down?
You know, I'm going to speak on two different perspectives. I'm going to speak on my perspective then, and then I'll speak on my perspective now.
Okay.
Then, you know, I didn't think it was the right thing to do. You know, I know it's a privilege to be in the NFL, and, you know, it's like, do what they ask you to do, anything to make that team. and I get that. But at that time, you know, I didn't feel that San Diego needed to draft me.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the phone with the Cowboys for about an hour and a half before the draft. And, you know, they were honest with me. They said, hey, you know, our first pick, we're going to do everything we can to get Emmitt Smith, but we like your style of running. And be part of that team. And because Cowboys were rebuilding, you know, at that time, they were just came off a 1-15 year. And, you know, and sure enough, San Diego Chargers draft me. They got Marion Butts, who just led the league in rushing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had Rod Bernstein. They had Darren Nelson, who came over from Minnesota. You know, it was a host of running backs that was there. Or my good friend, Ronnie Harmon, who was at Iowa, a big-time star at University of Iowa, who was mainly known for his fumbles at the Buffalo Bills before he came over to the Chargers. And I just feel a need. But, you know, I appreciate that, you know, they did like my talent. They did bring me in. you know. And I, you know, and from today's perspective, I think it's more of, you know, I wish I would have had some veterans around me at that time to say, hey, you know, hey Flanagan, you know, you run a 4.29 40, dude, you can help us in many aspects on this team. And I kind of wish my attitude was a little bit different then. You know, I thought that, hey, I'm a running back just playing on a national championship team. Therefore, hey, you need to be bringing me in as a running back and let me play running back.
Hey, it's that wrong with the confidence, man. I tell you, I think with the success y'all have had, you know, going up against Oklahoma and Nebraska and things of that nature back then, I mean, why not have the confidence? I mean, if that's what you had, but, you know, time would wonder what would it have been like to been an Emmitt Smith backup or somebody to change the pace for Emmitt Smith. And I got two Cowboys fans here that's like, yeah, we would have loved to seen that. You know what I'm saying? But
and I think it would have been great.
Exactly. Now, let's move on to a personal situation with, since you now are a veteran and you say for the now, you go speak from the perspective, you have a son-in-law that plays in the NFL, Jamar Taylor, cornerback for the Cleveland Browns. What kind of advice have you given him as far as dealing with the NFL and being and having the attitude that you did not have?
You know, I gave him the same advice that I gave my kids. You know, I have three kids that also went on athletic scholarships mm-hmm. to college for track. And, you know, I try to give them the aspect of I didn't want to be their coach. You know, you got coaches to handle that stuff. I wanted to help them with the mental part of the game. And, you know, there's always saying that, you know, that football is 10% physical, 90% mental. And I always tell him, you know, even to this day, before he left to go to camp, that, you know, you have to be mentally tough to endure good days and bad days. You know, you are a human being and you're a great athlete, but you're a human being. You're going to have days that are not great.
Right.
And people are going to judge you for those days that are not great. But what are you going to do to improve upon that? And what are you going to do to make yourself better and build your own self-confidence? Because that's what it comes down to is, you know, because, like I said, fans are going to have their opinions about you. We're going to talk about you on sports radio when you do bad. But what's your reaction and what's going to be your response to criticism?
Okay. Yeah, I saw they actually swung a trade for him from the Dolphins. He goes from Miami to Cleveland. Not sure how great of a situation that is, being the Cleveland has been down for a bit of time. But I do have hope because they do still have a little, I guess, lightning in the bottle. I guess they are feeling hopeful with Deshaun Kizer. Maybe not Osweiler, but with Deshaun Kizer at quarterback, and he's been showing some good signs of being a good quarterback here in the preseason here lately. So the best of luck to Jamar and the Cleveland Browns. But now let's move on into this project that you are co-producing, and you can let everybody know who's listening, the name of the project, and we will continue to pump this each and every week until it shows or even after it shows. So go ahead and tell our listeners the project that you're actually working on. Finally, after about 8 to 9 years, finally has reached the TV market.
Yeah, I tell you, that Hollywood life is a struggle, man.
Yeah, I can
dig it. But, you know, we've been working on this like for 8 or 9 years, like you say. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to tell people our story of what happened back in Colorado in 1989. We lost our quarterback of cancer, you know, and I'll tell you a little of the story. You know, we had a bowl game against BYU that December, and, you know, Sal and Nessie was just not the same. And by the way, let me go ahead and say the name of the movie, a documentary that we're coming out with, is called Born to Lead, the Sal and Nessie story. And that's going to air Friday night on CBS Sports Network. And so you got to check your local listings to find out when that comes on.
Okay.
But like I said, we wanted to make sure that we really highlighted, you know, kind of what we went through as kids. And people don't understand when you're 20 and 21 years old, to lose a friend that was so close and so young, you know, none of us had dealt with death like that,
right.
You know, to that extent. And, you know, imagine, you know, Sal himself, you know, being told a week before his 21st birthday, when everybody wants to get out and party on your 21st birthday, you know, he's told that he has 6 months to live.
Wow.
And so we really wanted to highlight his life, his earlier years, even all the way back to when he played Pop Warner football, you know, and so people will see the greatness that he had even at that young age. And he played with Junior Seau. And so you'll see Junior Seau in there, you know, before he passed away. And, you know, like I said, we just really wanted to highlight, you know, the struggles that we went through, but the determination we had as young kids dealing with death and how we were going to perform on the field.
Right.
And we wanted to make sure that all that's getting highlighted in this documentary.
Again, hey, man, that's going to be great. I got my DVR already set. When you send it to me, I already checked it out. Before you go, I do want to get the listeners, for you to tell the listeners about this RG3 story. Tell us about this RG3 thing that we talked about the other day.
Well, this is a true story. You know, we were, you know, Colorado was, we've always been based off of having great quarterbacks, and we've always been good when we had great quarterbacks. And, After Sal passed away, we had Darian Hagan. And after Darian Hagan, we had Vance Joseph, believe it or not, who's the head coach of the Broncos right now,
right.
Before he was a defensive back. And then, of course, everybody knows Cordell Stewart,
right.
And things like that. And we were itching to get another quarterback in. And then we got word that Mr. Robert Griffin III wanted to come to Colorado because his girlfriend, our fiance at the time, was running track. And Coach Hawkins decided that, well, I'm not going to recruit this guy because I don't want this guy to beat out my son. His son was a starting quarterback at that time. And we was just amazed. And he was just one of a few quarterbacks that Colorado was going to bring in that the coach kind of turned away or wanted to change their position so his son can be the starter there. But just imagine, you know, the very next year after we turned him down, 2 years later after we turned him down, he wins the Heisman Trophy. You know, and I think the momentum swing of University of Colorado would have been more upfront in what people would have seen of what Colorado has done over the years. But we put that program on the map, you know, in the mid-'80s and late-'80s and early-'90s up until around 97, 98, you know, and then it just took a downfall from there. But every time I think about that, I just get upset that, wow, Colorado could have still been on the map, you know, and people would have still been knowing about how good University of Colorado was. And we have picked up RG3 and gave him a shot to come in here and compete.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, last question for tonight. The best player you played against in college?
Whoa, man, wow. Don't forget, we played in the Big A against Oklahoma, Nebraska. So that's a tough one. But I tell you, probably for me, because I played offense, Broderick Thomas from Nebraska was tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to say, honestly, the whole Oklahoma defense, because, you know, I played against Brian Bosworth, and this guy, believe it or not, was flying all over the field. I don't know what he was on, but he was all over the field. You know, but we played against some great players, you know, and offensively, I have to say, the greatest player I ever played against, college and professionally, was Barry Sanders,
hands down.
I mean, you know, offensive players, when we off the field, we go sit on the bench and we wait till it's our turn to get back on the field. I can honestly say, when we played against Barry, all offensive players was up on the sideline because we wanted to see what this brother was going to do next.
Go ahead.
We wanted to see what he was going to do next, and sure enough, he ended up being a great, great running back, and also a really good friend, and you know, in the league, and as a football player, and as a man, you know, and he was a guy that made me never want to spike the ball, throw it into the stands. He's a guy that made me want to just get a ball back to the referee, act like you've been there before.
There you go.
JJ Flann, this is Sports Superhero. I had one. You were on the championship team at Colorado that year, right?
Yes.
Okay, that was the year you all beat Notre Dame in the was that the Orange Bowl?
My My last year there, we played for the national championship, lost Notre Dame.
Okay.
They turned around and went right back the next year for the national championship, played Notre Dame, and won the national championship.
That's the one I'm thinking about. I thought you were on that team, and I was going to ask you about the play that they kicked the ball to Rocket, and he ran it back for the touchdown.
I was there at that game.
You were there.
I flew out for the Orange Bowl game, and, you know, we got this game won. All we got to do is just kick this ball out of bounds. Got a good defense. We just stopped this guy.
Right.
And Coach Mack, I don't know what got into him. He said, kick the ball to him. And anybody want to go back and watch that play, you'll see that that was the biggest mistake ever.
Exactly.
Do you? You know, we're just lucky that we got a clipping call
exactly.
on that.
Exactly. I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you about that. Did you ever? I never saw the clip. I was wondering, did you?
I was on the sideline. And the guy that got clipped, his name was Tim James. He played a few years in the league himself. And Tim James was a legitimate 4'3", 42.
Okay.
And he was right there on him, and he got clipped in the back. And it was obvious once you saw it on film.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm just giving you a hard time.
He admitted it, though.
Exactly.
Hey, rather be lucky than good.
There you go. Hey, JJ, we got to let you go, man. We really appreciate it. But I do want to let's still talk about you at least being the correspondent for the SRT crew for that Pac-12, because we're going to need some Pac-12 information throughout the season. So let's continue to have that conversation, man. And look, we'll be looking at the show. Born to Lead, Sal and Nissi story, CBS this Friday. Tune in, check your local listening, CBS Sports Network. JJ Flanagan, it's been a pleasure, and thanks for being a loyal listener. Appreciate it, bro.
Of course. All love to you guys, man. Appreciate it.
For sure. And I also got a gift for you, too, so we'll talk about that. I got to send you some paraphernalia for SRT crew, baby.
Oh, you know it, man. You know, let me represent, man. Let me represent.
All day long, man. We appreciate it. Appreciate it, JJ.
All right, JJ.
Take it easy, man.
All right.
All right, brother. Y'all take care.
All right. JJ Flanagan, man. Legendary running back.
Yeah, man.
Tuned in, lawyer listening to the show. So if you think ain't nobody listening, don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled now. I'm telling you. Great. Son-in-law, Jamar Taylor, man. In the league.
Yeah, in the league.
You know, he can kind of give him some good advice. I don't know how much advice
he got to, man. Think of the names he said on that team.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But a lot of people forget.
When he said Alvin Jackson, I got tickled because I played golf with him and Hagen exactly. when they came down for an event the Q's had.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of theirs, mutual friends, whatever we played. And, man, he talking about some fun guys and good dudes.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. They all good. Yeah. If they come back down, we got to invite them to the studio,
for sure.
Man, for sure. All right, let's have some fun. It's time for the SRT Fun Bag. Facebook Live, let's get to it. SRT Fun Bag, let's get it.
SRT Fun Bag, go.
Make up your mind. Think, since you're thinking, now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag, sponsored by Real Talk Tees.
Hey,
got a shirt for every mood. And D Will, let them know what the website is.
You can go check it out at realtalktees.bigcartel.com. That's realtalktees.bigcartel.com.
You already know. You can check D Will's IG account, man. He got them shirts flowing and going. All right, first question of the fun bag, sort of like a pick your poison. Yeah, I guess we can say that. I got D. Will, you sitting next to me tonight, so you got to go first.
Hossie.
Would you rather run a marathon 52
miles? 52
miles?
It's 26.
Yeah, but this one is 52.
That's two marathons.
Okay, two marathons. My bad. Two marathons. Or do 2 weeks of boot camp for the Army.
I'm going to tell y'all, man. I partake in extracurricular activities. So anything with high levels of cardio don't agree with me. Okay? So I ain't doing neither one. I got to do one.
You got to pick one.
So Oh, you say boot camp for the Army?
2 weeks.
Two marathons?
Yeah. I mean, they ain't got to be the same day.
2 weeks? Give me the marathons. Yeah, I can't do that.
All right, for $5,000. You got to finish, though.
I get $5,000?
Yeah.
Oh, marathons.
And?
Oh, I'm doing the marathon because that's not my uncle. And me and Sam, it's not going to work. So the marathon, the 26 miles out, you know, I'll try that.
Zeke?
You going to end up running more than 26 miles by doing the boot camp?
Exactly. Plus the push-ups.
So I'm going to go with the marathon.
Smooth.
Marathon. You already know marathon because... North Korea, he might say, let's go ahead and drop this thing, Nate. Why you
now, hold on. He just said boot camp.
Yeah, it's boot camp.
No, you got to go to war.
No, you didn't let me finish. While you in boot camp, they might say, since you here, buddy.
You might as well.
Right, well, go to this.
Got this doing, ticket for you.
Right, strap them boots up, grab you, go on over there, let's go.
Hey, Rhonda, my homegirl Rhonda Brooks, she the only one took boot camp.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And my boy Slade is cracking up on your 52 miles.
How long do you have to run the 52 miles?
Well, it's two marathons.
It's one walk, man. Come on now.
No.
You have to finish it in one day?
Yeah.
All in one day?
Oh, now you're not. Ain't nobody in the world.
No, 26 in one day. The other marathon, you got to do two of those.
In 2 weeks. So you get two weeks because the boot camp 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Boot camp. Hey, I'm not.
I'm taking the marathon because at least I can. I can slow walk jog that.
But y'all got ideas.
The intensity of that boot camp,
right,
is not going to agree.
Yeah,
with
I'm
me.
Not.
Hey, you put that. Hey, you put that $5,000 on the Rhonda changed up real fast.
All right, here we go. This is gonna be a hard one. Neither of these questions I know you don't want to have.
Right.
But you got to choose one just for the sake of the show.
Gotcha.
Would you rather have a toothache or a migraine?
Ooh.
Which could you deal with the best?
Toothache. What's that stuff called? Ambisol. Ain't that it?
Oral gel. One of them.
Ambisol.
Yeah, same thing.
I can put that on there 25 times a day and just keep it numb. And then I can pop pills. A migraine? It ain't nothing you can do, bro. There's nothing you can do. I'm not doing no headache.
Never had a migraine from what I hear. I'm taking the toothache, too. But you can go get that pulled.
Straight like that. Straight like that.
You can't pull nothing out of the migraine.
You can't pull your mind.
Yeah. Have you seen Get Out?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to the sunken place.
All right, G, what you got?
I have had a toothache, but... It's not as painful as dealing. Like, I've had a concussion too, and I had migraines. That is nothing to mess around with. So I take the toothache all day.
Really?
Ambisol, baby.
Go ahead, Smooth.
Yeah, I've yet to experience one, and from the sounds of it, I don't want to experience it. So I'm gonna just defer to everybody else's knowledge. I'm gonna go with the toothache.
Toothache to me is the most painful.
Have you had a migraine?
Yes.
You think?
I've had a migraine. Oh. Yeah, well, you can't. The lights hurt.
That's what I heard.
I can sleep the rest of the day. Toothache won't even allow you to sleep.
I don't know if you're sleeping on no migraine.
Yeah, you close them eyes, you're going to sleep. Because you can't do nothing but close your eyes.
Yeah, but your head still hurt. I
take me some 800. I work at the hospital.
Yeah, I'm still taking the toothache.
Yeah,
I'm taking the Wisconsin. All right, construction worker or garbage man?
Man, come on, man. Come on, man. Hey, man, we got Supernard checking in on the live, man. What up, Supernard?
Supernard.
Hey, man, we ain't talking. That man got money. We ain't talking garbage man. garbage man or who?
Construction worker.
Oh, construction worker's rich. Yeah, put me on the construction.
Okay.
Yeah, let me build the towers.
You gotta wear them Tims.
Oh no, we call them it kickers. Call them it kickers. Yeah, I gotta wear them.
I have.
Yeah, construction, without a doubt.
Oh, I'm sorry, stop. Fun bag has to be paused. Jewel of Sports is in the building. Jewel of Sports is checking in.
What's up, Jewel?
Jewel.
All right, Z, what you got?
I have to go with construction because as a garbage man, you don't get that smell off of you. No matter how many showers you take. If I'm driving the truck, maybe I'll be okay. But if I got to like ride on the back, no, I can't do it.
But you know what?
Construction.
It's only one garbage man now.
Hey, the truck,
he by himself.
Yeah.
He got a thing to come down, pick it up, dump it in the back, and whatever on the street, he got to go get it himself. Yeah. There's no helper.
We got two, actually. We got one driver, and we got one to hang out the back, and he do both sides of the street.
Yeah, Gwinnett is just one. One guy come get it off.
Wow.
That's crazy.
They cheat, man. Smooth, what you doing?
As long as I don't have to work on the site where there's heights, construction all day. I'll do heights. I can't do heights.
So what, you going to dig ditches?
Yeah, that'll work.
I'm with Smooth. I'm construction, but as long as they ain't got to get up in the air, I'm not doing no height.
They paying a little more. I might try a little height. Paying a little more.
But then you
try a little height.
But then you don't know
much height, but a little height.
What you?
I don't mind being high.
But what you? But you know what? How many things you can pick up on the garbage? You know, on the side of the road.
It's just a stigma with being a garbage man.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, that's true.
I guess you really don't want to go to the club till.
Yeah.
What you do?
What you for live?
Well, what's the sanitation engineer?
There it is.
Hey, that's what your boy told us that day in the penthouse.
Exactly. Right. Sanitation engineer.
That's what he said.
I ain't no garbage man.
Sanitation engineer.
My apologies to all people who are sanitation engineers. Didn't realize that was an actual job title.
Right.
But all right, Uber or cab?
Uber. I ain't riding no cab, man. Cabs have always been dirty to me. The person that's driving it, I really don't trust. He's shaky to me. I ain't trying to get too political, but I ain't trying to be 4-5, but he don't talk to me the right way, you know? Like, and I know he getting a tax break, so I'm pissed. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on when you get in the cab, so give me the Uber.
Man.
Yeah, I'm going to try the Uber thing. Yeah, I leave the cab. I think New York, though, I don't know. You know, they're all about taxes and cab. But in the South, right, I try to Uber.
Ooh.
Yeah, would
you?
This is as a passenger.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. Well, I've taken an Uber before. With the cab, they try to run the meter and they try to, like, mess with it. So you're paying, like, 5-6 times more than
they take
Uber.
The longest route.
They take the longest route.
They don't go through no yellow lights.
No, they don't. They're like, oh, could you go this way? This is a shortcut, and they don't understand. They pretend to not know what you're saying.
They stop.
See, that's what I'm talking about, language.
They stay at the stop sign until it turned green.
You know what's crazy? I drove Uber for a year and a half, and I've never been a passenger in Uber.
Wow.
Don't feel bad. I ain't never been a passenger.
I've never taken Uber.
I Uber myself.
I've been a passenger. A lot of times it's a good experience, but you can just how, like, when it comes up, you can see what their rating is. If it's like a 4.9, they're pretty good. If it's like a 4.2, then you can, like, cancel immediately. Hey, and get somebody else.
Jules say she do Lyft.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lyft. Lyft then. All right. Smooth, what you doing?
Oh, Uber. All day.
All day.
Yeah. It has too many benefits. Like G said, it's cheaper. You can choose your driver. You can't do that with a cab. They just send you whoever.
Yeah.
So, Uber all day for me.
And you get like luxury cars, too, if you want. If you're feeling fancy.
That's true.
Okay. Well, I'm taking Uber, obviously, because I don't want no cab driver coming up. And as soon as I get in, I get a blizzard from Dairy Queen. I don't think I want that. All right. Last question of the night. Power or empire? Yeah, you don't watch.
I've never seen one episode of either.
Without a doubt, it's Ghost and the crew. You know, I didn't even watch this season of Empire at all. I don't know what about it. I do kind of miss Cookie.
CNN.
Don't get me wrong, but CNN kind of took it all, man. I've been watching Trump. Trump been my entertainment. But I'm going Power.
T.
I've also never seen an episode of Power.
Really?
I've watched Empire. I haven't finished this last season yet. I'll give Power a chance. There are a lot more people I know that are watching Power that have watched Power consistently rather than Empire. So I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Smooth?
Power all day.
All day.
Yeah, Empire, it's not realistic anymore.
Yeah.
Like it, yeah, it's past being real at this point for me.
Yeah. Ghost!
Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with Powell, man. Yeah. Ain't no doubt about it. I didn't even watch the leaked show because I want to.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah, wait. I'm going with Power all the way. So, Power it is. And speaking of Power, we're going to Power our way to another commercial because that's going to end our fun bag. And when we come back, we got G's extra credit. And we're going to jump more into this Michael Bennett, Marshawn Lynch. And we're going to talk about the top five rookie fantasy players that you can pick. D. Will, we're going to steal some of their strategies. Woo. You're listening to the Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You're tuned into WWE Peakville, AM 1100. Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
There's only so much time left to try the new seasonal Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich at Chick-fil-A. Delicious grilled chicken, bacon, and cheese slathered in zesty Smokehouse Barbecue sauce. It won't be around much longer.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Sports Roundtable.
That's the dumbest thing that people say was a shark attack. No, you in his living room. If a shark eats you, you came to him. I pull for alligators and sharks when people go in their territory and they mess with tigers and lions. I love it. I'm like, get him, Mr. Lion. Please get him.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Yo.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach.
What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly. I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the king, fam. Woo. Been balling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Woo. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk. Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's the Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. Hour number two. We're in the building. We had my main man, JJ Flanagan, in on this conversation, man. He talked about his days back in Colorado. Talked about the 30 for 30. And don't forget, CBS Sports Network will air Born to Lead, Sal Anisi's story. Check it out, coming on this Friday, as JJ has said. And nice interview, man. And he has some pretty different perspectives now than he had then about the NFL and how he went about it. We also did Fun Bag, and we also had some hot news. But right now, we'll give you some more news as G's has some extra credit.
We know here on the Sports Roundtable that we leave you wanting more each and every week. Well, I, G-Money, am here to help, to give you the info on the news you might have missed. This is G's Extra Credit.
All right, welcome to G's Extra Credit, brought to you by ByTheTimeYouHearThis.com. It is a website that hosts a podcast that you can listen to on iTunes, Google Play, and any other place where you can find podcasts given away for absolutely free. All right, so we have the Mercedes-Benz Stadium opening up in Atlanta. It's down the street from where we are recording right now. And they're going to have a Chick-fil-A inside of the stadium. And just like any Chick-fil-A that you may know of or that you're near, it will not be open on Sunday. So if you go to any Falcons games, you will see the lights turned off at the Chick-fil-A inside the stadium.
If they plan on Sunday.
What other day they going to play on Thursday?
Monday or Thursday.
You might get one Monday night game.
Maybe.
Sunday night?
It's still Sunday.
No, you can't get them on Sunday, though.
Ain't no Chick-fil-A on Sunday.
If
they're not at the Mercedes-Benz.
But I'm saying what's the point of putting a Chick-fil-A at Mercedes-Benz? I understand it's other events and things of that nature, but it's the home of the Falcons.
You want me to tell?
But you got the Chick-fil-A.
You want me to tell?
Go ahead.
Chick-fil-A is in there because of the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm saying that makes sense. I'm not disputing the sponsorship.
And it's the national championship game this year.
Oh, yeah, and that's on a Monday night, so Chick-fil-A
and they're actually wide not open. A sponsor for the Falcons.
It's still stupid. It's still, because national championship once a year, the Chick-fil-A Bowl once a year, the Falcons going to be there 8 times on a Sunday. 8. So that's 8 times that building's going to be open. The Chick-fil-A's not going to get any business.
And the 2 preseason games.
I mean, but they probably got a Saturday game.
So 10.
Monday or Thursday. So that's 2
The games. Monday might not be a home game. Thursday might not be a home game.
Yeah, you stole that from me.
Centerpiece of that
stadium, they're going to put it on Monday night at least. Yeah.
So it's going to make people go to see the Atlanta United there who else will be playing there?
Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks concert.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll go see Battle for
when Taylor Swift will come back around, too.
And see, that's my thing. Like, I understand individual events. It's going to be beneficial for those. But the purpose of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is the Atlanta Falcons. And for at least 8 times a year, one of the main attractions is not going to be open, which is going to draw... The Falcons are going to draw more fans than any of those other events, because when Beyonce... not the bowls, maybe. But when the Beyonce come, they cut off half the dome. They only serve one half of the dome. So when the dome is open 8 times a year, where you can make your money, it's not going to be open.
Don't they have part of the floor will be people sitting down there, too, though, right? Because they...
Yeah, I'm probably so, but they going to get Chick-fil-A.
No, I'm just saying, it still will be, like, you won't have them in the stands, but those people come down closer to the stage.
One time.
Still a half. But, I mean, what I'm saying is I see what you're saying, but that thing, they'll probably use that thing about, how many times a year, G, are they saying? The stadium.
It's going to be
22 events already.
See, 22 events.
It'll probably be
around them. So,
yeah. 22 events.
It'll probably be 160.
And 11 of them are not on Sunday.
So half of that, 50% chance Chick-fil-A ain't getting no business.
People
not going to go during the daytime for lunch. They ain't going to go into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and eat Chick-fil-A.
Well, it's not going to be open during the day when nothing's going on.
So what is the point of Chick-fil-A in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Chick-fil-A said we open Sunday nowhere. So really,
well, that's a lie.
That's my point.
Because
it was the Dorf House that we're talking about before we started. There's one in Noonan, Doraville, I think. And there's one in Duluth. They're open on Sundays.
The Dwarf House?
I think so.
Righteous?
I didn't know that.
Hey, I'm
sure. You go ride to Duluth?
One of those is open on Sundays.
Call Dwarf House at noon and see if they open on Sundays.
I thought anything affiliated with Chick-fil-A, Dwarf House, all of them, I thought they closed on Sunday. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's religious.
It might just be one of them. But there is one somewhere in the metro Atlanta
True
area.
True Cafe, rolling over the three.
Right, verify before you go.
Call ahead.
All right, what's the next story, LG?
All right, now, we do have Coach D. Will here, but I don't think he has any of the perks of being a coach as some of these college coaches I've been reading about.
Damn.
So they're just getting into the perks and bonuses that college coaches get. It's insane. I already know about how basically the state of Alabama is paying for Nick Saban's house. Mm-hmm. Some other Power Five coaches get things such as the access to a private plane. Mm. Bill Snyder, coach at Kansas State, gets 10 hours a year. But that's basically because there's like nothing anywhere near Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer gets 50 hours a year for using a private plane. He last year took 11 personal trips using that plane, including stops in Cape Cod, Florida, and South Carolina with some family members, costing Ohio State $120,000.
Wow.
Jim McElwain, the coach at Florida, he gets a money allotment, $40,000 annually to use a private plane. And Kirk Ferentz, when he needs a private plane for business or personal use, the school must provide that plane within 8 hours. And when Mike Leach, coach of Washington State, uses a plane, the school has to upgrade to first class whenever he requests it. So some coaches get that. And with cars, some coaches get perks with cars. Gary Anderson, the coach at Oregon State, receives an annual car allowance of $20,000, which calls for the use of using two courtesy vehicles. So basically gets like two cars a year from the school. Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, he only gets one vehicle per year unless he gets married, in which he'll get a second car.
He having too much fun.
Hey, hold on. Let me ask you. You say something, they get $40,000 for McElwain gets $40,000
for using a private plane.
Okay, a private jet will cost you $1,200 to $8,500 per flight hour. So he getting $40,000. So that's about six flights a year if he going, top of the line jet.
And believe me, there's some boosters at Florida.
Come on,
with
a
private jet that he only had to wear. He probably don't use that.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that $40,000 goes in his pocket.
It's just to boost up his money.
And one more thing under the cars, Gus Malzahn at Auburn, him or his wife, if they're at a Shell station, if they use the Auburn credit card, the school pays for both of their cars and all of their gas. So
they're making, listen, let's go back to college football. We got to get here. These coaches are making millions and millions and millions of dollars on top of millions of dollars. And G is reporting for us right now that they don't pay for a damn thing. So you mean to tell me they make millions of dollars, they don't pay for nothing, and the kids still don't get a dime?
Exactly.
Exactly. Yep.
D-Will said it.
As far as with gear, Jim Harbaugh gets a small amount of $4,000 from Nike to buy gear for him and his staff, but the wardrobe of Jim Harbaugh is rather limited, as he wears khakis that his wife buys for him, and he'll wear a Michigan sweater or shirt or whatever. PJ Fleck at Minnesota gets $49,000 annually to buy gear, just stuff.
Bruh, they get free gear already. They got sweatsuits, shoes, t-shirts. They get everything free. So you give them another $50,000 to go buy more stuff? What I'm telling you is they're not buying nothing else. Hair cop, y'all just said it. He wear khakis and sweatshirts. Where he using $4,000 at?
No way.
PJ Fleck just got a D1 job. Right. He don't need no shoes.
Look, man,
and them boys get nothing?
Nothing.
We also have.
I can't sit by HO no more. I get emotional.
They also have one thing that was interesting to me. Also, and this will be the last part of it, is the bonuses they get for winning games. Uh-oh. Of course, there's always that's it's understandable. But
take my headphones.
it's understandable to get a little bonus if you do well, I guess. Mark Stoops at Kentucky. After they win seven games, each win after that, another $250,000 per win after seven.
Wow.
They got a great agent.
If he wins 10 games, he gets a two-year extension automatically.
And that's Mark Stoops, you said?
Mark Stoops at Kentucky.
If he wins how many?
10.
Oh, he won't.
If he wins 10.
He'll never get that. That incentive won't never get that. But they got, I think they got 9. They might have got 10 last year.
So if they get to 10,
I think they
went 76. They get to 10, he gets $1 million automatically and two more years. Iowa State's Matt Campbell gets $500,000 for winning six games. And Kirk Ferentz from Iowa gets $500,000 for every season he wins eight or more games, and another $100,000 if they make a bowl game. And for Kansas, who has only won nine games over the past 5 years, sure, they have promised their coach $50,000 for any win against an FBS opponent.
Stop. Man, shut the fuck up.
And if it's a Power 5 team, it's double to $100,000.
Who negotiates these contracts?
Man, damn the contract, man. Listen, listen. Hey, this is that thing. It's smoke over there, but the fire's really over here. You know how they, because just to tie it into what's going on, I believe everything that's going on in the media is a distraction. It's a distraction from something else. Kim Jong-un is what it's a distraction from. But go ahead. It's Kim Jong-un.
I got one more. Okay. So Dabo Swinney won the national championship last year, earned an extra $900,000 for winning the national championship. Kirk Ferentz of Iowa, Kirby Smart, and Bronco Mendenhall could each make $1 million if they win the national championship. Automatically $1 million bonus. Nick Saban gets a measly $400,000 bonus every time he wins a national championship.
Well, I'm saying he's making $12 million a year. What do you need?
And he got a free house.
Exactly. But here's my thing. You know what these guys get? Say the Alabama when 2012 when they won the national championship. Do you know what them players got? And all these bonuses we talking about?
They got a ring, maybe?
They got a ring. And we all know they get a championship ring. But their perks for going to the game and playing in the game. You know what they got?
PlayStation,
an iPad, a swag bag, and a watch.
Throw that Zaxby's bill in there.
Listen, a Zaxby's gift card was in the swag bag. Yeah.
For how much?
Probably $25.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Now, this is ridiculous that these guys, we're talking all these millions and millions of dollars, thousands of dollars going to these coaches, and these guys literally get a watch. For the same game that we're talking about, if a coach wins, he gets an additional $1 million. Okay, give him $500,000, take the other $500,000, and put it into the kids' pockets. Don't that make a little bit more sense?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Only if the NCAA allows it.
And at least, like Kansas coach can at least split that every time he wins a game, the players get money.
Exactly. Come on, man. At least let him buy him an extra meal. Them boys get three hots in a cot.
What does that sound like? Wait till you get to the basketball coaches then.
I'll see what I can find. I'll have that for you next week.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't do it, G. I'm going to tear this microphone up.
Yeah, let's wait the basketball season then. At least he'll be into some kind of groove. What else you got for us, G?
All right, and there's no video of it yet. But there, I don't know if it's an inside joke or anything like that, but Derek Carr, he just got his big contract. So, of course, the next step is to start a music career.
Oh.
There is a website for DerekCarrMusic.com. And there was a teaser video in which he's going to release a single. It might be some kind of joke. I'm not sure.
Do you have a clue? Please say no.
He tweeted yesterday that it's all a joke and he's not making music videos on the side.
Thank God.
So it was, I don't know what this campaign is for exactly. If he's got a new touchdown dance or something, or is for something else.
Fake news.
Yeah, in the video, it looks like he's going to be on an episode of Riverdale, if anybody ever watches that show. Or just some teen soap opera. That's what he looks like in these pictures. So I was kind of hoping that it would be like some kind of like goof video, but apparently it's nothing right now. It might turn into something, but someone went through all the hassle of creating a website and doing this photo shoot, and nothing's come of it, at least not yet. So keep a lookout for that.
Let's hope it stays that way.
So, that'll do it for G's Extra Credit, brought to you by the time you hear this.com.
And D. Will got excited because of your extra credit. Hey, man. Got a little passionate.
College football, man. I love it.
We see. All right, G. Let's go ahead and jump into this roundtable discussion. Let's go ahead and get some of these rookies.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new pre-owned or used car, please go to Jay's Used Cars, 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia. Give them a call, 770-496-0339. You can go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory, or you can just holler D. Will as he just purchased the car.
Woo!
Yes, sir. Before we get back to Michael Bennett, let's at least get into these college players going pro, and they call them rookies. Your top five rookie fantasy. I think we can do fantasy because
they haven't proven anything.
Yeah, they haven't proven anything. All right, you want me to go first? You want to go first, D?
I'm ready.
Well, my top five, number one is Deshaun Watson. I think he's Mr. Everything. I think he's going to really do some things this year. I think Deshaun Watson has been slept on for a long time, since he's been at Clemson, and I think he's going to do very, very well. I think he actually may be one of the first rookies that's drafted in the fantasy league this year. Number two, I'm going with Leonard Fournette. Jacksonville has no one else in the backfield. And Bortles, he throws too many interceptions.
He's horrible, man.
They're going to have to run the ball.
Horrible.
They're going to have to run the ball.
The wide receivers are cussing them out.
Exactly.
I mean, they're going down the field, literally coming back saying, man, just keep it in bounds. Give me a chance.
Exactly. So, Leonard Fournette, my number two. My number three is going to be Christian McCaffrey. I think he's going to be all-world. He's going to be more of a receiver than a running back to me. Dump-off screen plays, middle screens, things of that nature. I think he will he's going to light it up. And yo boy, Jay Smooth, I got Corey Davis,
yes,
Tennessee
sir.
Titans. I think Mariota will finally find him a receiver that he can actually get the ball to, and I think Corey Davis is that one. Very, very
I
fast.
I didn't think it better would have him.
Huh?
I didn't think it better would have him.
Did you? Yeah. And my number five is O.J. Howard.
Man, him too.
I think O.J. Howard is a sleeper to some. If anyone wants to go back and look at his stats at Alabama, they may say, well, okay.
Better watch the tape.
Exactly. And my sleepers are going to be Evan Engram, tight end for the New York Giants, and Rico Gathers, the tight end for the Cowboys. I think there are going to be some great, great rookies for fantasy in this class.
Let me go next for somebody name all mine.
Hey, great minds think alike.
Great minds do think alike. And I'm going to be real quick with it. Number one, I agree. I got Deshaun Watson. Two, I do have Leonard Fournette. But I got, at number three, I got O.J. Howard. I believe that Jameis Winston is going to lean on him a whole lot this season because he is a possession receiver that can go deep. That's the thing about him. And if you want to leave him in to max protect, he's like a fifth or sixth offensive lineman. All right. So just know O.J. Howard is going to be a big impact for the Bucs this year. At number four, I'm going with the speed demon. I know he had injury problems at Washington, but I'm going with John Ross, Bengals wide receiver. If the what is Red Rocket? What y'all call him?
That's him.
Red Rifle. That's it. If the Red Rifle can be decent this year, he does have somebody who can take the top off the defense. I believe did he run the fastest 40 ever in the history of the combine this past year? If he didn't, I think he was right up there with it. Yeah, he was very close. So John Ross is my number four, and hand, you probably been throw your hands up. But I got your hometown boy. I got Dalvin Cook, Minnesota Vikings.
I knew it.
Listen, we saw what he did at Florida State. We know the capabilities that he has. And what he did show at Florida State that we didn't know, especially in the end of the season, was that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And if he can continue to develop that and continue to be the running back that he is, I believe he's going to have a big year for the Vikings. Now, I don't know what type of offense they have. I know the Vikings are going to be down this year. Yeah. But I expect for him to have a good rookie season.
They're going to lean on their defense.
From what I'm understanding is the offensive line is kind of suspect there. But I do have Dalvin also. But like everybody else, you all called Deshaun. You called Fournette. Corey Davis, I didn't think anybody would grab. But Harris said him. So the only guy I had Howard and I had Ingram. I think Ingram and Howard will benefit because of the offense they're in. The other guys outside, I think, will actually have to have – the safeties will have to help over the top, which I think was going to leave those two guys in a position either against fifth corners, you know, fifth DBs, or they're going to get matched up in some linebacker situations.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
And that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be too big for those
linebackers,
those corners.
Corners, I'm sorry.
And too quick and too shifty for the linebackers, yeah. Unless they're playing the hybrids like we talk about. But one name that I didn't hear from you guys is Joe Mixon. And honestly, I think Joe Mixon is going to come in and provide some things to Cincinnati. One, durability. But this kid, honestly, when the scouts talk about him, if it wasn't for the off-field stuff, he might have been pushing the Fournette as the best running back coming out.
Right.
You know, he had a tandem thing with he and Perine, which we hadn't even talked about. Perine might be a nice piece in the league.
In Washington, yeah.
But I think Mixon is going to have an impact. He's, like I said, with all the negative stuff going around, he's not getting the acclaim or whatever from the, you know, more, you know, I guess, socially pleasant,
right?
We call these other guys,
right.
But watch Joe Mixon. I think he'll have an impact in the league.
To your point, before we move to G, is actually I read a report today about who's on the trading block, and Jeremy Hill is on the trading block. So that's to your point. So I'm not. So you may be on to something down here.
Joe Mixon, man, watch it.
All right, G, what you got?
All right, at number five, I got. Well, if he's healthy, I'm not even sure anymore. Mike Williams of the Chargers.
Okay.
He's going to make – I think he'll make Phillip Rivers look good. They have a lot of receivers, and, you know, Keenan Allen will be coming back. Of course, they have the dependable Antonio Gates if he's healthy as well. So, but I think Mike Williams will be an impact player for them. Number four, I got – because I think he's going to end up starting. I think it's low expectations right now, but Samaje Perine,
right.
He's with the Redskins right now. Robert Kelly is like the starter,
right.
But who knows how that's going to really turn out. Like, are the Redskins committed to him? That's up to yet to be seen. Joe Mixon, number three. If Jeremy Hill is going to get traded and they want to have this 1-2 punch with Mixon and Bernard, you know,
aren't they the same type of back, though?
No, Mixon is a bigger physical back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But he has the speed and shiftiness. He got the size.
But you
also
think he could take
the
pounds.
He can run it between the tackles without a doubt.
Yeah. Then I got Dalvin Cook. I think he's going to be the he's going to end up being the starter in Minnesota. I think he's going to get a bulk of the carries over Latavius Murray. So that was four guys, right? All right, so I'm not really sold on Fournette. Like he's said that the game was slower, and then he got like little dinged up in the next practice. So I don't know how that's going to turn out with him. He's number six for me, but I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be have the most impact as a rookie. He can catch the ball in the backfield. I don't know if they'll have him return kicks and punts. Probably not. But he's showing that, you know, I'm hearing reports that he's living up to the hype as of right now.
Right.
I don't have any quarterbacks. I don't think Watson is going to start. Trubisky may start later in the season. And Mahomes, I would be surprised if he played at all this year.
Okay.
So.
All right, Smooth.
Y'all said them all, man.
I'm like, hey, how many more rookies is it?
Yeah, y'all said them all, but few names I had down. You guys said them already. Fournette, Mixon, Deshaun Watson, Dalvin Cook, and, of course, Corey Davis. My my hometown guy.
Right.
So, probably out of those five, I'm probably looking forward to seeing what Corey Davis is going to do most. But honestly, I don't draft rookies in fantasy. But if I had to draft anybody, it might be Fournette, and simply because he's going to have the most opportunity.
Yeah.
He'll probably get the most touches out of anybody I can think of so right now. So I think he's probably the safest bet. Good offensive line in Jacksonville. And like y'all said, Blake Bortles is horrible. So we expect him to run the ball. So that's where I am.
All right. Let's move to some old college football. We did preview the top five, Alabama, USC, Ohio State, Florida State, and Clemson. And right outside of that is Penn State. So my question is, out of this top five that you see, do you think we will have the two teams that will be playing in Mercedes-Benz Stadium with Chick-fil-A being open on on that Monday night? Do you think we have the two teams in the top five right now that will play
for the next game?
Got Alabama, USC, Ohio State, Florida State, Clemson. And right outside of that, we got Penn State, Oklahoma, Washington, Michigan, and Georgia. So there's team. Think anybody from 6 to 10 slip up and go up? You think we got the national championship out of the five, the top five? D-Will, what's your thoughts?
I say
well, I know you got one.
Yeah, I say the national championship is within the top five because it's all the usual suspects are there.
Right. Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm skeptical on the Nittany Lions. I want to see, they have all the hype, they got the talent. I want to see John Franklin. I want to see, can John Franklin do it when the...
That's their schedule. They at Ohio State and they at Michigan State.
Okay, John Franklin's going to do it. All right, to reiterate, I'm going to change that question. I believe Penn State is going to the national championship game.
Because
it's too favorable.
Look at the schedule.
Let me tell you this. Okay, they do have a tough stretch because they do go at Northwestern. They're at home for Michigan. They're at Northwestern, then a bye, and then they're home for Michigan, on the road to Ohio State, and on the road to Michigan State. Now, we do know Michigan State was way down last year. Right. They fell off a cliff after making it to the college football playoff the year before that. So will they bounce back? I don't know. I don't know what their talent looks like. I really hadn't dove into Michigan State yet. I wish Tate was here to talk about his boys. But they got a tough stretch. They got a tough month of October. That's a real tough month. If they can make it through that month of October without losing or one loss, depending on how Michigan and Ohio State fall out, I can see them getting in.
AG, don't Penn State got an all-access coming up at some point? Because I think one of these premier stations are playing.
I believe Showtime had Florida State last year.
So, okay. Han, what you going with?
I mean, it's a possibility, man, but it's just such a crapshoot to say out of this top five, and I know that's the question.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to hedge my bet and say no. I don't think so. I think, honestly, we talk about these five. I think Clemson's going to get a taste of reality this year. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to slip.
I don't even think they know who their quarterback
is.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. I think they're going to slip.
Said he's starting Bryant.
Yeah.
When he said that.
Oh, okay.
So how are you going to put them in number five?
Yeah, because
Legacy.
I think we need to really pay attention to the Trojans, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because the hype surrounding the quarterback situation, I told y'all last year, when Darnold started to play, the team changed. And they're really now getting to the point where that Reggie Bush, all that stuff that limited their recruiting and all that, is starting to get over now. They're starting to fill the coffers again.
They're back to full scholarships.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They always could put 22 on the field.
Right.
But after that 22, they had such a drop-off. Now they're starting to restock it a little bit. So when you look at this thing, we always know what Alabama's going to be. Alabama will be tested a little bit, I think, with some teams in the SEC, but I think they're going to come out of it. Florida State, I, you know, as I always said, We haven't been back to, even with the championship with Jameis, they still haven't been my nose of the past when we finished in top five 14 straight years.
James is back.
Yeah, they're back.
He got hurt last year.
James would have made a difference last year in the secondary. No doubt about it.
He might be the new Jabril Peppers.
Right. We'll see.
You want to take credit.
We'll see what happens when they play Bama, and I'm looking forward to it.
He's the third-ranked safety in the country.
The defense is tough. Well, that's not what the
– Bama got the first two. Bama got the first two.
I love Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
But Derwin James – is right on that level.
And they move Minka down to the corner, so that gives him a little bit.
Yeah, Minka's a beast. I like Minka.
Ronnie Harrison is not no punk.
Yeah, but give me Minka.
Minka's the top playmaker. Yeah, he's a playmaker.
So, and I think James will be also. So it'll be good. But out of this top five, I don't think the two teams will come out of this top five. I say one. And I'm hedging my bet with Bama, USC, one of those two teams.
Now, and to all of our credit, I think we all agreed that Penn State USC probably was the best bowl game last year.
Without a doubt.
That we saw, right? And they are back in it with USC being 3 and Penn State being 6. So they got a – I'm pretty sure the game last year gave them that hype.
And you want
going
that
into that season.
You want that. But the thing when I say about these teams is, you know, and I know y'all hear me say it a lot, it's different when you're the 100.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Well, now the expectations are there. Because last year, nobody checking for Penn State.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nobody
said. Nah.
Neither was the was the playoff committee either.
Exactly.
But low now, roll. When Penn State come to town, we ready for them. We want to see it.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
And that's why I said earlier, I want to see if Franklin, John Franklin, can really be the coach that he's always said to be when he was winning 9 games at Vanderbilt.
Exactly. All right, Jay Smooth, you think the championship game coming out of the top five, or you think somebody's sneaking in there?
I probably lean towards more superheroes thinking. Right now, like you said, it's pretty hard to say, but I think the good thing is that we'll get a measuring stick early on with Bama and Florida State, so we'll know how good they are. And I think one of the great things about it is that either one of those teams, they can get a good loss early.
Right.
And I know, I don't want to hear that. But either one of them can get a good loss earlier. But I think that game specifically, I think it's going to set the tone for the rest of the season and the rest of these teams, because they know exactly where they need to go or where they need to be.
And to add to that, Clemson plays Auburn first week.
Yeah.
And Michigan plays Florida the first week, which could actually help Penn State.
Auburn's going to be my sleeper, too.
So
I just don't trust Stingham. I got to see it.
I mean, so we going to have a lot of measuring sticks out of that first week, just to Jay's point. So look for that. G-Money, what you got? You think that top five is legit or we?
Okay, so what? Give me the top five again.
Alabama. Mm.
USC.
Ohio State. Florida State.
Clemson.
Yeah. I think two out of the five will be in the playoff. I'm picking two out of five to be of these top five.
Okay.
At least. A lot of things are going to play out in the first week, like you said. But I think Alabama, I want to say Florida State, but I really don't know with them. It's possible, but I'm thinking Alabama and probably USC. I think that's kind of matchup I've been wanting to see for a long time on a not like first week of the season neutral site kind of thing.
Right.
Like last year, I wanted to be when something's on the line, and USC might be due to make that kind of run now. They got the quarterback; he's going to get all the Heisman hype. You're going to hear about him all year,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's going to be a good story for USC to finally get back to and get past the whole Bush line thing.
Yeah, I got you. So I'm thinking along.
Y'all love some Sam Darnold on this show.
Oh, he's a beast.
I love.
I'm just saying he's. You gonna hear a lot about him.
Yeah, you are gonna hear because
it's a USC quarterback.
Season last year.
Yeah, he's exactly. A USC quarterback.
Yeah. True.
Even though no USC quarterback has ever started a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And he can move.
Alabama, USC, I think are if you're going to pick two. Those two may be the two that you're going to get out of this. With a very, very close Florida State and a sleeper Penn State, I'm with D-Will on that. I think the Florida State-Clemson game is going to be – I think Florida State has the advantage of who they can beat to get to move. With the Louisville, the Clemson. The quality wins. If Clemson doesn't fall off. But I do kind of like USC in I guess I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid just a tad bit. Bama is going to do what they do. I just think Ohio State and Clemson are just going to kind of fall off this year as far as that is concerned. They may make the playoffs, but the championship game, I just don't
know. Is it me, or do you feel like JT Barrett's been at Ohio State for like 12 years?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he graduated?
he's a senior this year, but I feel like he's like an eighth-year senior or something like that, right. At least. Wow.
Exactly. That's crazy. All right, D-Will and Jay Smooth, let's talk about Michael Bennett and Marshawn Lynch. D-Will, we'll let you tackle it first. They did not stand for the anthem. Your thoughts on it, your thoughts on what's going to happen. Is it a big deal? Are they going to use them as more of a distraction for what's actually really going on?
I don't believe it's even going to be an issue.
Okay.
First of all, I'm going to say, what else could you expect from Marshawn Lynch? Like, the season that Kaepernick took a knee, Lynch was retired. And if we know anything of beast mode, he is the one that goes against the system, whatever it may be. Like Hancock alluded to it earlier, I'm not sure if his political views or his consciousness to what's going on in the streets of America, but I know he watches the news, and I know he don't give two ding-dongs about what anybody in the media has to say, okay? So to see him sit down, I don't believe the media is going to touch that because I'm just here so I don't get fined, boss.
Yeah.
So I believe he's very aware just from what he said in the past, but I think it's for other reasons. So I don't think they're going to touch that with a 10-foot pole because he is so revered and loved in the NFL. Now, Michael Bennett, who's been very outspoken, he's been on the front line with Colin Kaepernick since Kaepernick actually took the stand. I don't believe they're going to say much because these guys are already playing, okay? Don't you know how when something new happens, they got to have a fall guy. It has to be a scapegoat. Somebody has to be the precedent, okay? Mm-hmm. I believe Colin Kaepernick is the precedent. They're setting precedent with – he's the scapegoat, all right? He is the fall guy. The quote-unquote fall guy is what Chris Carter said every NFL player should have. Well, Colin Kaepernick is the NFL's fall guy. So he's the poster child of – what they think is non-patriotism and is which they're looking against him for. So I don't believe it's going to be much happen to those two guys because, like I say, it's a lot of guys in the NFL that are outspoken about the issues, including Michael Bennett, like a Richard Sherman and others. But I don't think they're going to touch beast mode with a 10-foot pole.
All right, Jay Smooth, your thoughts on it?
At this point, sitting down for the anthem is completely irrelevant.
True.
At this point, Michael Bennett, Marshawn Lynch, they're both reacting to what's happened.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick, he was able to get ahead of everything, and he was, in a sense, proactive. He got ahead of the whole Donald Trump situation, which we knew was coming. Anyway, but I think at this point, you have to be a bit more strategic. Right now, sitting down, it's not going to do anything. I think you have to get to a point where you have to organize an effort where players aren't playing. Mm. I think you have to affect the bottom line, you have to take away. I mean, I think you have to affect the dollars. You have to affect the money that's coming in. And the only way you can do that is by not playing, in my opinion. And, I can't say what Michael Bennett or Marshawn Lynch are going to do. I know they have families to support and whatever. But if you're really serious and you want to make change, you're going to have to be a bit more extreme than just sitting down. That's not going to get it done. People don't care about that anymore. Like I said, they're only reacting to what's going on these days. If they did that 5-10 years ago, okay, maybe. But now, with the climate the way it is, it's irrelevant, in my opinion.
All right, now let's talk about the stance that LeBron James took the other day when he was on stage and said that we need to come together. Hancock, your thoughts on LeBron at least saying something? He is an athlete that said that, admitted that he has a platform and he's going to use it.
Right.
Outside of basketball, people go say, well, with basketball, people are going to say this and this and that about LeBron. But outside of basketball and things of that nature, LeBron has shown that he can move the needle and he can get folks' attention.
Right.
So, hand your
and,
thoughts
that, and
on.
That's my thing. I was working on a little piece that I will be sending to G entitled, You're Going to Miss Me When I'm Gone. And that's an ode to Mr. James. The thing about LeBron is LeBron is taking heat from all type of things about not being a hero in the clutch, not passing the ball in the clutch, not shooting it, being passive aggressive, being given too much at too early of an age, not being Kobe, not being Michael, not being this.
And but a diva.
And a diva. But we can say one thing, a few things about him. First thing is he will go down as, if not the greatest, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time when he's done. Whether you want to like it or not, the things he's accomplished, you can't really argue.
Proof's in the pudding.
Now, you can talk about the championships and whatever. But the other thing that we can point to with LeBron is LeBron uses his voice to affect people that ordinarily would not have any knowledge of what's going on with Donald Trump, besides what they saw in Charlottesville or whatever. People pay attention to LeBron. And I admire that he takes it upon himself to say things when it might not be in his best interest. Now, he can't say those things because he owns a lot of things and that he has his hands in a lot of stuff. But there are a lot of other people that had their hands in things and owned a lot of stuff. And they still, I won't say cowards, but they choose not to say something. So for that manner, it's just like, you know, you see a lot of this. This is one thing that rubbed me wrong, and it's getting off a little bit, but religion. And when you hear these religious groups, you hear rap music in religion now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, to the point at first, I was like, well, why? I'm not really cool with that. But the thing about it is that style of music or whatever affects somebody, it gets them into it. And they might get that message that they might not ordinarily get by listening to gospel. A regular gospel song. So the same thing happens with LeBron. LeBron reaches an audience that ordinarily would not be reached in a social climate.
True.
He might not get that. He might not get hit with what's really going on. But if LeBron says it, it might resonate with them. So for anything else about what LeBron is doing, I really admire that he stands up and he uses his platform to say something. Yep. And I think it will be effective.
Yep. And I think we can all agree on this. I think LeBron wields or uses his influence better than any modern athlete, in my opinion.
Right.
And me personally, I don't expect athletes to come out and get involved in political or social issues. I don't expect that at all. That's why we vote in representatives, senators. That's their job. That's what they're there to do. But a lot of times they don't hold people in positions accountable. But, you know, I commend LeBron for what he's doing. I mean, he's not only the most influential, he's also the most charitable. I mean, he's on record. He's giving back a lot. And so for him to come out and do the things that he does, it is important. And we need it from, you know, the biggest, arguably the biggest voice in sports in terms of, well, really black figures.
Right.
And Smooth, I agree with you except on one point.
Uh-huh.
I believe athletes, entertainers, celebrities alike, I believe they do have a duty to stand up and speak out on social issues, because majority of the people that support them are people who are not in that realm. So a lot of the information that people that LeBron James can give out and other athletes and celebrities alike can give out will resonate with somebody on another level than a politician saying it. Okay? For everybody loves Maxine Waters. And we all know she's Senator Maxine Waters from California. She's been all over the news because she opposes Donald Trump. Now her message is clear. But just say if that was Dwayne Wade saying that or
Nicki Minaj or Beyonce. Imagine
Serena Williams.
Serena Williams. You see, if it was,
he's from California.
Exactly. If people of, if I think if athletes and entertainers were to step up and take that political change, I believe it will go a long way in helping the inner city communities, those who don't have an attachment to that world. I think that will help attach them to that and help them understand more if they have somebody that they look up to and understand saying the words that need to be said. Because when I disagree with Charles Barkley back in the day when he says, I'm not a role model. Yes, you are. You're on TV every day. If you're on TV every day, regardless of how you portray yourself, people look up to you. I don't care about how we feel. Yeah, we clown around on this show, but it's plenty of people that listen to this show and expect us to give them the information that gets them through their week. I just had a conversation with a loyal listener coming in here, and they said to me, I cannot wait to hear what y'all got to say tonight. I've been waiting all week because I need to get fed. That was their words. They need the because the way we give the information is a way that helps them understand it. So I believe athletes do have a duty to go out there and to swing that pot low enough so everybody can sip from the same pot.
And I think that pot would be deeper if the NFL had guaranteed contracts. I'm just going to be real.
You keep it real.
And it's a lot of guys out there that's like, or, I want to say it, and I want to do it.
If they had more power.
Yeah, right.
But
money is power.
Yeah.
It is. And I feel what you're saying.
But even if Goodell didn't have, if they didn't give up that much power to Goodell, then you got a little wiggle room.
But you
got
to have the right people. See, this is my point. You got to have the right people to come out and do it. And I keep saying it ain't just the blacks. It's got to be the others.
You're right. And what's the over the player association that passed away, the black guy?
Maurice Smith.
Gene Upshaw?
Yeah.
Gene Upshaw.
He would understand.
Well, let me say this. I don't want leadership from, well, I can't lump all football players into one general whole.
Right.
But a lot of them, considering the issues that they have, I don't want any of them speaking for me. Considering all the issues that they have, until they can get control of their own situation, until they start to hold themselves accountable, they can do this and that.
I agree with you. I agree. But the politicians aren't held accountable, and they get to do the same thing.
They do the same thing.
But here's the thing. I understand where you're coming from, but our people, we relate to what the issues that they have are the issues that go on in our community. You see what I'm saying? Like, drunk driving, drugs, violence, that happens in every community. But the levels of it relates back to our community. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to be hard for it's going to be hard for Pookie from the hood to look at Donald Trump and expect Donald Trump to give him any type of information feed his life.
One last thing. Just remember, those are the people who write the laws. And when you get athletes and such involved, when they start to fund these politicians, they want to push their own agenda, and we need to push our own agenda. That's a part of the problem.
That's a great perspective on both sides. And to D. Will's point, us as media co-hosts and hosts of the show, we are – and we have a responsibility as well. And
so I'm watching this Sunday.
Exactly.
And every Sunday.
Exactly.
And my job.
And for those who don't know, obviously we are super, super big in Tokyo, as they are 50% of our listening audience over the last 10 shows.
Konnichiwa.
God damn it. I was throwing it to G as he said it. I was throwing it.
Hey, man, I want to shout out to the crew. Shout out to Jay Hughes Car for taking care of my man, D. Will.
Appreciate you,
shout
Jay.
Shout out for D. Will for coming on in. Shout out to my man, Charles Dudley, coming through, man, checking us out. Shout out to J.J. Flanagan.
Flanagan.
Called in, man. Shout out to the crew, man. Y'all did a great job again. G Money, you are the one. You are the man. And shout out to our loyal listeners. Shout out to Facebook Live. Shout out, baby. We doing it each and every week, as always.
Hey, man. You ain't telling, man. We hit a milestone this week.
Oh, yeah, my bad. And we also hit 100,000 podcast plays. 100K in our podcast history.
Live hand claps. Live hand claps.
And we're not talking about live listeners.
Mm-mm.
We're talking about they go back to listen to the podcast. 100,000 in the history of Sports Roundtable. All right, D-Will, your shout out.
Hey, man, shout out to the wifey. Shout out to the crew, man. Appreciate y'all holding me down, man. And shout out to one of our top sponsors and a friend of the show, Jay of Jay's Used Cars, for hooking his boy up with the new whip. I'm clean as all outside. Y'all can catch me rolling down the street. Dope boy Fresh with the Bama tag on front. You dig what I'm saying? Appreciate you, Jay, man. But yeah, man, shout out to the crew for y'all holding us down, man.
Hey, shout out, first of all, to my wife. Had some issues. We were in the hospital all night last night, but like the soldier and trooper that she is, Miss Sports Superhero, glad you kicked them tests, but you good. Whoop. Appreciate it. Absolutely. Also, everybody on Facebook who reached out and commented on my mom's picture and wished her a happy birthday. R.I.P. Mom, love you. Miss Tiny Mae Robinson.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, Mae Robinson, that's what happened back
then. Yeah, you got to have Mae.
My grandmama was Annie Bell, and my other grandmama was Roberta Mae. So it's all good. That's what they used back in the day. But happy birthday, Mom, R.I.P. Happy birthday to my Uncle Johnny. His birthday was this past week, and my Aunt Deb. And shout out to anybody else that I'm missing. Again, thanks for all the love and support on Facebook.
Shout out to my mom and dad who listen to the show every week. My mom's birthday is this weekend. So
there you go.
Happy early birthday, Mom.
I'll happy birthday, Mama G.
And if you guys want to follow me on social media, I'm at GPlaysItCool on Instagram, and I have a website by the time you hear this.com. And I haven't played in a while, but I am still on Fiverr if y'all need anything for your podcast or radio shows.
There you go.
Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for having me on the show, and I'll keep it quick. That's all I got.
There you go.
Hey man, I ain't used to going first, so it threw me off. I forgot some shout outs. Hey man, y'all gotta go follow me on social media @_RealTalkTees. That's @_RealTalkTees, and @IamCoachK9. That's I am Coach as in King and the number 9. And go buy a t-shirt from me, RealTalkTees.BigCartel.com.
All right, man. Once again, another banger. SRT Sports Roundtable with SRT Crew. SRTRadio.com. We'll see you next week. Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom. R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
stay woke.
And we out.
Stay woke.
Peace.